We begin the current daven Masechet Yevamah as daf Kof Tes. We begin on the bottom of Kof Ches Mem Beis, on the bottom line, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this parak discussing halachas of Yibum that then relate to when it's relating to a minor, when the wife is a minor that was married only rabbinically, and that is when she's a Yisraelim, when her father's not alive. So the Mishnah begins, HaMagarash Esa Isha Verzira. If someone divorces a regular woman, an adult woman, and then he remarries her, and then he dies without any children. So that the Mishnah says, Mutaris liyavim, she's permitted to the yavim in the context of Yibam. Now, the chiddush in that is that we do not say what's called Nisun Harishenim Ad Pilim. That is, there is a discussion previously in the Masechta, what is it that creates the mitzvah of Yibam? Is it the marriage that creates the Yibam? And already from that time is already when it starts already being processed? Or is it only at the time of death, Misa Ma'pelas? Now, if you would say Nisun Rishayim Apilim, you might say that then she should be forbidden to the Yavam, because during that marriage, at the moment when she got divorced from his brother that died without any children, she became what's called Grushas Achiv, which is forbidden for a brother to marry. There's never any heter, because even if the brother dies without any children, if she was divorced at that time, so there's no context for the heter of Yibam, and therefore, during those Nisun Harishayim, at the previous marriage, at some point along the line, she was divorced from him. So although he remarried her and then he died without any children, that you would think to say that she should be forbidden based on the first marriage. That's what the Tanakhama is saying, is that no, she's permitted for the Yavam. We go based on the latter half of the marriage, and since at that point he dies without any children, so she's going to be permitted to him. Now we continue on top of Kotes and Aleph, but Verbalaza Isa. He says that it's forbidden, and the Gemara will explain the reasoning for this. And similarly, HaMagarash Esa Yisema. If someone divorces an orphan minor girl, where her mother and her brothers had married her to this man, which is a rabbinic marriage, Mutaris Liyavim Vechzira, and then he went and he remarried her, whether she was a minor or even when she had become an adult, at a later point in time, they reconciled and he remarried her. So Mutaris Liyavim, then she's permitted to the Yavim, and that is, as we said, because it's Misa that's Mapelas. And at the time of death, so then she was his wife, so it doesn't make a difference that at an earlier point in time she was divorced from him, which again makes Grushas Achiv forbidden to the Yavam. We say that no, since it's at the time of death, she's his wife, he dies without any children, and therefore she's permitted to the Yavam. But again, Rabbi Elazar Issa here also, he argues and he says that since at some point she was divorced from him, so therefore she's going to be forbidden to the Yavam. Now the Mishnah says a case of Kitana Shesia Avi of an Iskarish. Here we're talking about that, not like the previous case when she got married as a minor, which is a rabbinic marriage, which is when her mother or her brothers get her married because the father is dead. Here the father was alive and he married her off, and then she got divorced from the man he had married her off when she was still a minor, and the father received the get. Whereas the Gemara explains in Masechtas Ksubas that a father, what he does with his minor daughter are biblically. In other words, it's a biblical marriage, even in his young daughter, and when he receives the get to accept the divorce that the husband's divorcing her, that's also a biblical divorce. Now, so the Chiddush, the Mishnah is saying is that even if her father is still alive, she's what's known in Halacha as ki yisayme b'chaya av. She's like an orphan when her father's still alive. In other words, in the context of Halacha, where in this regard, it's regarding Kedushin, what that means is that the father doesn't have any more authority to marry her off, although the Torah says the father can marry off his daughter when she's a minor. If he already once did that and she was already divorced, he can't go ahead and biblically marry her off to anyone else. And therefore, so the case continues as follows. So let's say Verzira. Let's say this husband then went and remarried her. Now, if she dies when she's still a minor, on that the Mishnah says, Divrei HaKol Asur Liyavim. Here, everyone, even the Rabbana, in other words, the Tanakhama, would agree that she is forbidden to the Yavam. And the reason is as follows, because the Gerishin, meaning both were when she was a minor, it seems to be similar to one of the previous cases where he was married to her as a minor, he divorced her, then remarried her when she was still a minor, and then he died without any children. So that the Tanakhama says that it's Mutter. Why here would they say it's Asr? The reason is because they were different marriages. The first one, together with its divorce, was done when the father still had that authority. Meaning, even when he's still alive the second time around, he loses the authority. So, he received the gerishin, that's a biblical gerishin. So, midaraisa, she's considered his brother, the Yavim's brother's gerusha. Now, the second time when she remarries, then the father doesn't have authority anymore. Hence, that's only a rabbinic marriage, because as we said, the father lost his rights. And she herself is not an adult yet to receive a biblical marriage. So essentially, we view her as a grusha on a biblical standpoint, because biblically she is a grusha. Now, although generally we say we don't care that she was a grusha, because once she gets remarried and he dies in that state, so that's misum apelles, but that's not true, because that would only be if, let's say, the first one was rabbinic and the second one was rabbinic, or the first one was biblical and the second one was biblical. This case is unique in the sense of that the first marriage was biblical, and therefore biblically we see her as a grusha, but the second time around is just rabbinic marriage. And the rabbinic marriage cannot override the biblical status of a grusha, and therefore the yavam will be forbidden in his brother's wife. And this will be even according to the Rabbanan, not just like Rabbi Elazar, who says that it's usur even in the previous type of a case. Now, Amar Eifo, who's the name of a sage, he says, my time with Rabbi Elazar, what's the reason Rabbi Elazar that he said that it's forbidden that even if now she remarried and they're married at the time that he dies, there are any children, but since at some point in the marriage she was divorced, so that makes already forbidden to the yavam. What's the reason? So Eifo said the reason is Hayil va'amda lav sha'achas b'yisura. Since at one point in that first marriage, she was forbidden for one moment, even it could have been just divorced and right away remarried, so she was forbidden to the Yavam, and that's because of the Isra of Grushas Achiv, where that's a Chiv Karas to marry his brother's divorcee, so therefore that's an Isra that remains forever, and she's forbidden in Yibum. Now, Amalei Rabban La'ifa, but the Rabbanan said to Eifa, the other Tamidim, they said, Ihachi, if that's the case, so chalitza namaloi tibayi, then based on what you're saying, when that halacha of amdalav sha'achas be'isr says that she's an eshes ach sheyesh libanim, in other words, that doesn't have a heter, so then that's like an erva, and therefore that not only is there no yibum, but there shouldn't even be chalitza. Now, v'chitem ha'chanam, and if you're going to entertain that, to say that when Rabbi Elazar says oisir, he says that not only can you not do yibum, but you don't do chalitza either, but v'tan in the braisa that Mishnah Rabbi Elazar amru chaylet says, this that he says that Mishnah Eiser is only going in the words of the Tanakama, who says Mutaris Liyavim. So he's saying, no, it's forbidden to the Yavim, in other words, to do Yibum. But Rabbi Elazar says clearly in the Braisa that you do Chalitza. But based on your interpretation of Amdolav Sha'achas Be'iser, she shouldn't even have to do Chalitza either. So El Amar Eifas, or rather Eifas says, Rabbi Elazar, lo yadana my time. He says, right, I don't know, I don't understand then the interpretation of Rabbi Elazar's opinion. But Amar Abaye says, he says, Hayne tam Rabbi Elazar. This is the reason Rabbi Elazar. Says, because Mesafkale, Rabbi Elazar was in doubt, imisim apelles, is it the moment of death that creates for the first time the entity of Yibum? Inisun harishenim apelim. Or is it the whole marriage of the brother, the whole time there's a het of Yibum? Just, you can't do Yibum yet because she's still married to the brother. So the question is, which one creates the entity of Yibum? As the Gemara explains, imisa, is it the her husband, meaning his the Yavam's brother's death, that's mapelis, that creates the nefila of the Yavama to the Yavam for Yibam? Well, if that's the case, Harami Kamei LeYibam, then she's falling for him for Yibam, because at the moment of death, which is the first time Yibam's being entertained, she's married to him without any children, so of course it's Yibam. There was never Amdul of Sha'achas Be'is, it wasn't every interruption in that, because we don't look at the marriage, it's not the component that's integral. But he wasn't sure, Inisun Harishayin Mapim, or maybe it's the marriage that then gets continued with the Yavam, so we look at that whole original marriage, so in that marriage there was an interruption when she got divorced, so although they got remarried, but since there was a moment when, you can't do Yibam anymore, so therefore that preempts that, and therefore he wasn't sure. So you can't go ahead and be Pater Halagamri and say that she doesn't have to have either even Chalitza, because maybe it's Misum Apelles, and there actually is Yibam. But you can't do Yibam either, because maybe it is Nisun Rishayim Apilim, and some Dalav Sha'achas Be'isr, so you can't do Yibam, but you have to Chalitza, and that's why, as it says in the Braisa, that she's Chalitzas. Rav Amma, he gives a different interpretation. He says, L'oilam Shitil Rabbi Elazar de Misum Apelles. No, it was Klit Rabbi Elazar, that it's Misa that's Mapelles, not even Nisun Rishayim. So if that's the case, so why does he argue in the Tanakhama? At the moment of death, so she was married to him without any children. But he says it's because of a concern. Umiyu hakol bikin begershin. Now everybody knows that they got divorced because everybody saw. And when people get divorced, it makes a voice that, in other words, that emanates to the people. The word gets out, so everyone knows that she's divorced. But ve'ina kol bikin mechazara. not everybody knows that he remarried her. In other words, because that's the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah, where he divorced a woman and he remarried her. Now, that doesn't make the rounds, so to speak. When someone gets married, it's not such a big deal as a divorce. Now, sometimes what could happen is that he'll remarry her in an evening, and he'll die in the morning, in other words, in a very short time span, where no one ever saw that they were married, walking around together as a married couple again. And people are going to say, wait a second, we know that they were divorced, and we see his brother is marrying Grusha Sachev. So because of that concern, we said that if a person divorces and remarries, the brother can't do even, because there could be such a case of when there was he just remarried and we didn't know about it, because that's not making the news. And therefore, people are going to think that you can marry Grusha Sachev. They don't realize that this is the context of Yibam, and therefore we said we never allow it in the case of Girsha Vechzira. Now that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Adra, but to the contrary. Chazara, when he remarries her, Kivin the Yasvet to say, since they're living together, so Isla Kala, what do you mean? Of course everyone's going to know about it because they're living together, so of course they're going to know that they remarried. Why do you have this concern? Now that the Gemara answers, no. Mila Yaskinon, in other words, can we not say that the case in the Mishnah would be talking about, because this is what can happen, the Hadra Ba'urta B'Shachem B'Tzafra, that he remarried her at night and the next morning he suddenly died? And therefore, this is essentially what we had explained before, that since that is a possibility, so in such a case, that would definitely be that there wouldn't be a Kala, because no one ever saw them remarried. He died the next morning, and then yet we see the brother marrying her, and people are going to think you can marry Grusha Sachev because they don't know that they got remarried to create Yibam, and therefore we never allowed it because of that concern. Now Rav Ashi, he says a different interpretation. He says, Hani Tam de Belazar, the reason Rav Belazar was, is because the Gazar Hani, he made that we made a Gezeira for these cases, meaning of the Reisha, which is a Machlekes Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, regarding when you divorce and then you remarry, whether it's biblical marriage and then remarriage, or rabbinic, when you're talking about Yisayma, that marriage and then remarriage. Mishum, because of the case of the Seifa, which is Yisayma B'chaya Avach Zira, which is that when the first time he married her, was the father was still alive. So that was a biblical the divorce. Then he remarried her when she was Yisayma B'chaya, meaning when the father lost the authority, where we said in the Mishnah that according to everybody, that since when he takes her back, she's still essentially like a grusha, meaning she's like a biblical erva, because the context of Yibam is only rabbinic, because the second time marrying is only when she's a son of Chayav, and there everyone agrees, even the Chacham agreed that would be Asr. So Rabbi Elazar holds that we never allow a remarriage for it to create Yibam, because of the confusion that we might come to do the same thing when she's a Yisayim B'chayav, where she married two times when she was a minor, but yet people don't realize the first time she got married was when the father was doing it. Second time he loses his authority, and therefore when he remarries her, that's only rabbinic, and there it is actually Asr. So therefore all cases of being Machzira, we said that it's going to be Asr for the Yavim to do Yibam. Now the Gemara says, actually, Hachanam Mistaba. This seems to be the logical understanding of Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, because Megitani Sefer, the fact that the Sefer said in our Mishnah, this case said Kitana Shesia via Veneskarsha regarding a minor that her father married her off and then he received the divorce from her husband. So then we said she becomes Kiyisayim B'chayav. Now the father loses the authority. He can't marry her off two times. So she's like an orphan when he's still alive. And then Ve'achzira. Then the same man remarries her. Diriyah Kol Shasul Yavim. Now there everyone, even the Tanakam, agrees that now she's forbidden to the Yavim, as we had explained before. The problem is high mila memra. Why did the Mishnah have to say this case? Pshita is pretty obvious, and that is the obvious, as we had explained before, that since the father loses his rights in her after he marries her off the first time, and she's still a minor, so obviously her return to that man is not a biblical return. So biblically, she's still like a grusha. So yes, of course, everyone, even the Kohen Tanakama, would hold that she's forbidden to the brother because she's a grusha, biblical. Now, Elalav, so rather, isn't this the reason why the Mishnah said this case in the Seifa? To tell you that Hokamash Milan, that time of the Rebbe Elazar, that the reason of Rebbe Elazar, in other words, in the first cases, where he says that it's going to be Aser when he argues in Tanakama, is because the Gazar Hanach Mishim Hai. That's why we're saying it at the Seifa, to say that that's exactly where Rebbe Elazar is coming from. Because that case, everyone agrees that it's Aser. So Rebbe Elazar says, even the first case are going to be Aser because Atu that case. So from a precise reading of our Mishnah, where it doesn't make sense why it says that case at all in the Sefer, because it's so pashut, must be, it's coming to say like Rav Ash's interpretation of Rabbi Lazar, that that's why actually the previous cases Rabbi Lazar himself says are going to be usher too. Some of the Gemara says, Tanik of Asedir Rav Ashi. We have a Brisa that seems to say like Rav Ashi. The Brisa says, Moidim Chacham Rabbi Lazar. Chacham agreed to Rabbi Lazar, which was this case of the Sefer that we just mentioned from our Mishnah. Which is Bekitana Shesio Aviv and Eskarashi. You have a minor. Her father married her off. He received the divorce. Sahari Kisim Chayav, we said she's like an orphan when our father's still alive. Verzir, then that same man remarries this minor girl. Shastru Liyavim, where then she's forbidden to the Yavim. Memnesha Girishel, Girishin Gemur. As we said, her divorce is a biblical divorce. But Vein Chazarasa Chazar Gemur. But her remarriage is not a biblical remarriage, because now she's a minor and she can't do biblical marriage. And her father can't do it either because he lost his authority. Now, that's the case of the Sefer. Now, on that, the Braisa says, when did we say that Chacham agreed to Rabbi Lazar? That's Shagir Shakish Shigitana. That's only if he divorced her when she was a minor, and then the father received that get. So that's a biblical divorce. Verzir Kishigitana. And he remarried her when she's still a minor, where then there's no authority to create a biblical marriage, not for the father and not for her. And then he dies when she's a minor, where he never had bia with her when she became a gedolah, to say that as if that bia would then create a biblical marriage. So that's still rabbinic. So that's when we would say that, oh, everyone agrees it's aster, because biblically she's a grusha, but rabbinically it's only a rabbinic ibu. Aval, but the Raisa says, kirsha kishikitana, if he divorced her when she's a minor, but verzir kishigedolah, but he remarries her when she's already a gedolah, where that could create a biblical marriage. So although she's rabbinic, she was biblically a divorcee, but again, the biblical marriage couldn't go ahead and undo that. Or inami, or herzir kishigitano, the godless, or even if he married her when she was still a minor, but she became an adult when she was still married with him, whereas Rashi explains what we say, that basically the first time they have bia when she's an adult, we take for granted that that's what they're having intention for that to be kedusha. So either way of these two cases is that not only is the first phase, the first time she was married to him, biblical, so therefore to make a biblical grusha, but the second time will also be biblical. And then the mace, and then he dies. Oh, then the Tanakhama, the Chacham would hold, no, oy chaletza zem esabemes, there you can do chalitza or yibam, because as they hold in our Mishnah, where if you megarish a woman, which is a biblical gerishin, and then you remarried her, which is biblical married, then it's misma pelas at the time of death, you're considered biblically married, and therefore that could create a context of yibam. That Mishnah Rabbi Lazar Amr, as he says in our Mishnah, and we had quoted a brisa that elaborate on this, that no chalitza is v'loy misya bemes. No, you have to chalitza, but it's usher for him to do yibimtar. Now, what the Gemara is trying to prove from this brisa is that from the fact that the brisa started off by saying that omaydim chacham Rabbi Lazar, that the chacham agreed to Rabbi Lazar by the case of yisem b'chaya av, which that's setting the stage, and then it says b'med v'amum qualifying. Obviously, it's coming to say, but that the later ones, that Rabbi Lazar is saying it's forbidden, and the Chacham is saying are permitted, is coming to say because Rabbi Lazar holds that's usher because of that case, where even the Chacham agree to him. But on that, what the Bryce says, oh, but Med Vamum, that they agree is only there, but in the other ones they don't make that Gezira, but obviously Rabbi Lazar, who says that it's forbidden, is like Rav Ashi because of a Gezira of that case, and that's how he interprets Rabbi Lazar's opinion in our Mishnah. Now, related to this opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Gemara brings Boyimine Rav Merav Nachman. Sarasa, the co-wife of this machloikas in our Mishnah, when we said that you remarried her when she was an adult, where you had a biblical marriage, you divorced, and then biblically remarried her. But according to Rabbi Lazar, he says that she's going to be forbidden. Whereas, let's say, the last interpretation we said, that of Rav Ashi, is because it's a gzera unto the case of Yisrael B'chaya Av, which is forbidden. Now, so therefore we said the same thing would apply to all remarriages. Now the question is, Mahu, what's halacha with the co-wife? Do we say just like she's forbidden to be taken in Yibam, so too that would be like some type of an erva, which would then say that the tzara also would be forbidden to be taken in Yibam, or not? So Malaysa, Rav Nachman responded to Rav, he says, I understand. He gufa gzera. This muhzeres, the woman that was remarried, herself that she cannot be taken in Yibam, is only a gzera, as we said, from Rav Ashi because of the case of Yisrael B'chayav. Now we're going to make a double gzera. We're going to say that, oh, if we let her get married, she's allowed to really be taken in Yibam because it's Misa Mapelis. But it might be confused with the case of a semichai av. So that's a gzera. So now the tzara, we should say that, oh, if we let the tzara get married, they would be taken in yibum, then she might be taken in yibum. And then if she might be taken in yibum, then we might allow it even in the case of a semichai av. But now that's what's called a gzera le gzera, making a decree, a concern for a concern, that we don't do, and therefore the tzara would be allowed to be taken in yibum. Now, however, on this, the Gemara asked, but Vatani, let Nabraisa not like what you just said. The Nabraisa says, Meshumer Belaza Amr, the name of Belaza, they said, he, Vitzarasa Chilatzes. She, this woman that we're told about, this Mugzeris, the one that was remarried, she and her Tzara have Chalitza done to them. Now, he, Vitzarasa Chilatzes, can you entertain that both of them get Chalitza? We never do Chalitza to two of the Tzaras. It's only one bias that you do Chalitza. You don't do it to two of the co-wives. Elav, rather, obviously what the Brice is saying is that either she or her tzara gets chalitza, but that what we see from the Brice is that even the tzara can't have chalitza being done. So that seems to say not like what Rav Nachman's answering, that the tzara could have even done. So that Rav Nachman responds, no. Lav terutzi kamatar, says, didn't you have to correct the Brice because the Brice said he b'tzarasa chalitza? So you said, oh, so what does it really mean? It means, but it says, no, if you have to fix it, Satara Tzachi, you can fix it, that works with my interpretation. When it says, he v'tzarasa chiletzes, it says, no, he chiletzes. And that is, if let's say the Yavim comes to do Yibum to this woman that was remarried, no, that she has to do only chalitza, and then she exempts her tzara, and you can't have Yibum done. But if he goes to the tzarasa, to the tzara, then it's eicheletzes oimus abemes, then he could do either chalitza or yibim, and then she exempts her and her co-wife, that woman that was remarried, and therefore there's no refutation from that brayso on what he's saying, because you could say he b'tzarasa chalitza really means to say he chalitzes, and tzarasa is either one, either yibim or chalitza. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again continuing on this theme within the context of yibim, relating to when the wives are minors or katanas. So the Mishnah begins, Shnei Achin Nesuin L'Shtei Achoyes Ketanos. When you have two brothers that are married to two sisters that are orphan minor girls, which again that's a rabbinic marriage, and there's two sisters married to these two brothers. U'meis Baila Shel Achas Mem. Now, one of the sisters' husbands, meaning one of the brothers, he dies without any children. So that the Mishnah says, Halazud Teitz Mishum Achoyes Isha. So the other one, meaning the one that's the Yevama, will be removed because she's his wife's sister, and she's exempt from Chalitza and Yibum. That is, whatever the power of this Yibum is rabbinic, the marriage is also rabbinic, be that as it may, it's on the same level. So just like regular Achos Isha, he's married to the Yevama's sister, that means to say that she's an erva of Achos Isha, and therefore she's exempt from the halacha of Yibum Chalitza. And so too the Mishnah says, same thing applies to when they're married to two deaf mutes, which again, those are rabbinic marriages, which is the same thing. If one of them dies, so then his wife will not fall for Yibim to his brother because he's married to the sister, and therefore it's Achay Sishtai, which is an Ever, which is exempt from Yibim Chalitza. Now the Mishnah continues, Gedoylo Ketan, if you have two brothers married, and one of them is married to an adult sister, and the other one's married to the minor sister, so the Mishnah says as follows, Meis Baila Shel Ketana, if the husband of the minor died without any children, so now the minor girl is falling for Yibim to the brother is married to the adult sister, so Teitzar Ketana, Mishum Achayis Isha, so he's biblically married to the adult sister, so her sister, whether she's a minor or an adult, is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibim because she's an erva of his wife's sister. Now, however, if Meis Baila Shel Gedoyla, but if let's say the husband of the adult woman dies without any children, now she falls in front of the brother that's married to her minor sister. Now what you have over here is you have a zika bond of an adult, which that's a biblical zika, where that makes it forbidden to his minor wife because that marriage is only rabbinic. Now that's not strong enough, where normally a marriage to a woman will exempt her sister from ever having a zika. That you can't say over here because the zika is biblical, but the marriage is only rabbinic. Essentially, what that makes is that makes his minor wife achayis zukukasle. He's having a biblical zika, and the sister of his kuka is forbidden. So the question is, what do you do over here? Because she's not exempted. There's a biblical zika, and his wife is only rabbinically married. So on that, the Gemara brings the following machlekes. The Mishnah brings the following machlekes. Rabbi Yezayim, he says, "Melamdin es haketana shetimoin boy." What you do is that you teach this minor, that's his wife, to do mean in her husband. When she does mean, essentially that uproots retroactively the whole marriage, is like as if she was never married to her husband. And then he could go ahead and do Yibam, this her husband, to the Gedailah, because there's no Isra Achai Sishta. He was never, retroactively, based on Mian, married to her sister. And the reason why we do that is because we have a biblical Zika, which it's here, and we can't undo it because of his marriage. So what do? So we uproot his marriage, and then he does Yibam to the sister. Yimli Leimer, he says that no. The Zika of this Gedailah, of the adult woman that's falling for Yibam, does not make his even rabbinic marriage to the minor sister forbidden. And the reason is because Gamliel holds Ein Zika. What that means is that Zika is not so strong of an entity to say that this is something you have to reckon with, as the Gemara explained in Gamliel's opinion on Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph. Now, therefore, he says as follows, Im Miano, Miano. If she does Miyun, then fine. She could do Miyun, this minor wife, if she wants to. And then the Gedailah, the adult woman that's falling for Yibam, he could do Yibam with her. But Vimlav, but if not, then Tamtin, then the minor should stay with her husband, Ad Shetagdil, until she becomes an adult. When then it kicks in a biblical marriage, because when she's an adult, then they're biblically married. And then V'teitzeh Halazum, and then the Yavama will go ahead and be, by default, removed from the whole parasha of Yibam, because now she'll be an erva of his wife's sister. Now, however, Rashi explains what we couldn't do is, we couldn't do right away chalitza to the adult Yavama, because then that would actually invalidate this man on his minor wife, because that would make his wife a chayz chalutza, and the person's forbidden to marry his chalutza's sister. And since here, if he's going to do chalitza, that would make it forbidden for him. So therefore, what you have to do is, since it's yesh zika, since it's ain zika, so we don't say that the zika is making prohibited, like we had said in Rabbi Elazar's opinion. So all you do is, you could do mean, but if you don't want to, you hold on. Then it becomes biblically married, and then by default, she gets removed. And you have to do it that way, because you can't remove her through chalitza, because then his wife would be forbidden, because she would be, his own wife would be achayz chalutza. Mishnah brings a third opinion. Bishuaimer, he says, no. Eloi al Ishtoi, woe to him regarding his wife, and Eloi al Ishtoi, woe to him regarding his brother's wife. Because Moitzias Ishtoi beget, what he has to do is he has to remove his wife with a get. And the reason is because he says that you cannot do as the previous opinions had said, or like Rabbi Lazar, who said that you tell her to do Miyun, as the Gemara will say, because as the Gemara will say, Yisrachak od the minima Iunun. We don't want to. We try to do as little as possible this procedure of Miyun. And however, neither can she stay with him because he holds Yesh Zika. So, meaning to say that there's a problem over here because she's a Chesikukasa, you can't stay married to her. Now, however, he can't stay with the minor wife, but neither can he stay married, neither can he have his minor wife do Miyun and then go ahead and do Yibim to the adult because we don't promote Miyun, we don't want Miyun done. So rather, he divorces his wife. He has to divorce her because she's achiz chalutza, because yesh zika. And the eshes achiv, regarding his brother's wife, he can't do yibim now because now she's achiz gerusha. She's the sister of the woman that he just divorced. And therefore, he has to actually remove her bechalitza with chalitza because she's not totally exempt because he's only married rabbinically to his wife. So Rabbi Yeshua says it's the worst of both. You can't end up staying with neither one, not with his minor wife, and neither with the adult, Yavama. Now the Gemara asks, regarding Rabbi Elazar's opinion that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Umi Shari, as we had explained, that was the basis of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion on Mishnah, is it permitted to teach the Ketana to do Miyun? And that is because he's saying what we have over here is a problematic situation because she's a Chesukuka, and she's not exempting the adult because the marriage is only rabbinic. So what do? So you're going to be stuck like Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Elazar says, you know what you do? You just go ahead and tell her to do Miyun, which will retroactively remove the whole marriage. Fine. Now you have a biblical, regular Yibum over here from the adult woman, and because he was never married, so to speak, halachically to her minor sister, and therefore you do Yibum. And the Gemara asks, do we do that? Do we train people? Do we promote people to go ahead and do Miyun? But Ratani Bar Kappara had taught, now the reasoning of all these halachas will be explained by the Gemara, But primarily, the Gemara is introducing it for the question that Bakapara says, Lo ilim yidbak od the mishleishu dvam. A person should always cling to three things. In other words, these are things that he should always do. And v'yisrachik mishleishu dvam, there are three things that he should stay away from. Yadbik mishleishu dvam, the three things that he should cling to are bechalitza. He should always be choosing chalitza, not ibum. Ubevav sholem, about bringing peace, promoting peace. Ubevav faras nedarim, and to nullifying vows. You don't want to have vows. And v'yisrachik mishleishu dvam, you should distance yourself from three things. Min ha-miyun, from doing miyun, which is a minor's marriage, that when she refuses that marriage. Umin ha-begdoinis, and from taking deposits from other people. Umin ha-ervoinis, and that is a person should not be a guarantor on a loan. So you see that we are merachik doing miyun. How could you go over, or head over here and introduce this as intervention of promoting miyun? The Gemara answers, miyun de mitzvah shani. You're right, we don't promote miyun, but when it comes for a purpose of a mitzvah, which is the adult biblical yibum, so then, we can't do that because he's rabbinically married to our sister, so therefore, for that purpose, for a mitzvah purpose, then we would introduce and promote miyun. That's not a problem. Now, once we introduce this, the Gemara says, gufa tani bakapar. Bakapar had taught in this price that we just said, la'ilm yidbak od mishleish adram, person should always cleave to three things. First one was bechalitza. So the Gemara explains, why do we choose chalitza over yibum? Kabashal. Like Abashal said, the Tanakh in the Brice, Abashal Omer, he says, Hakoinus is yivimta l'shem noy. If a person marries his yivama for the purpose of her beauty, or l'shem ishus because he just wants to be married, or l'shem davachar for any ulterior motive, but he's not doing l'shem shemayim to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, kilo pakeba erva, it's almost like as if he's marrying an erva, an illicit relationship. And the curve be'enai lisa blad mamzer, Abishol says it to me, the child seems to be, it would be like an illegitimate child, almost like you're violating the Isra HaSach, because you're not doing what the intention of the mitzvah of Yibim was. And therefore, since it's very hard to fulfill that type of a level, we always choose chalitza over Yibim. Next thing he said was that a person should be yidbak b'havah shalom, in about bringing peace. Like it says in Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, bakesh shalom ridfehu, seek peace and pursue it. And we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that the Amar Bavo explained in Masechtas Kedushin that Asir Radifa, we learn the Gzeir Shava of the word of pursuing, which tells us of the great reward for someone that brings peace. Whereas we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Peya, that's from the things that Oichel Perasim Boil Mazeh, that you eat the produce, meaning you get the reward of that in this world, and the Karen, the principle of what you did, is Kayemes Loel Mabo, you get in the next world. Which we learned that out from Gemilas Chasadim, from acts of kindness, where Ksiv Hachet says over here, by bringing peace, Bakashon Vered Feyu, seek peace and pursue it. Now Ksiv Hasim says within the Pasuk in Mishlei, Reidiv Tzedakah V'Chesed, someone that pursues charity and kindness, which is Gemilas Chasadim, so Yim Tzachayim, he'll find life. Tzedakah, charity, that's a reference in the world to come when he'll get that reward for that. The Kavod, and he gets honor in this world, so those are the things that by Gemilas Chasadim, that it's Paris in this world and the Karen in the next world. And that we're saying that the same thing applies to, as we learn, Radifa, to bringing peace, where and therefore that's something that a person should always be davakin. The third thing that a person should be davakin is Bafaras Nadarm, is nullifying vows. We don't want a person to be holding onto vows. And that's Kirib Nasan, like Rab Nasan said, the telling Linda Brysa. Rab Nasan Naimer, he says, Hanoidir, someone that takes a vow, Ki'ilu bana bama. It's like as if he built himself a private altar, meaning at a time when it's forbidden to make altars, that is, you could only be sacrificing on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, where that person is considered a sinner. And that's because, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chav Gimel, so it says, V'chisech the linder, etc., when it says if a person is not going to do Nidarim, then he won't sin. Now the inference is, but if he doesn't stop from making Nidarim, then he's considered like a sinner. Now actually, even more than this, Tesis brings that this would be based on the Gzeir Shava of the word Chadola Chadola. Meaning here it says, V'chisech the lender, if you withhold from making the darim. Now it says in a different pasuk, Chid lochem en adamash and the Shama ba'apa, you withhold yourself from a person that has a soul in his nostrils, ki bama nechshav, because with what is he considered? Meaning don't go to people, you could go to Hashem. Now the Gemara in the first paragraph of Masechtas Bracha says, don't read it bama with what, but rather bama, that it's considered a bama. And therefore, we learn that a gzeir shava of chadala chadala, as the Gemara says in Masechet Nedarim, that if someone makes a neder, Shmuel says, even if he fulfills it, he's considered a rasha. Now Rabbi Avoh says, what pasuk is that based on? Because it says over here, v'chisech the lender, and it says over there, shem risham kod l'roigiz. So we see that it's considered a rasha, but the primary point that Tais is illustrating is that not just that he's considered a sinner, but actually the metaphor of a bama, we see that because it says bama by chadala, and it says over here chadala, so therefore we say that the sin is as if you built a bama. Moreover, the Gemara says, "V'makaymai kilahikar b'la karban." And not only if you make a neder are you a sinner because of the problems that could arise from that, but even if you fulfill that neder, you're essentially like bringing a carbon. You're concluding what you did by building that bama. It's as if you brought a sacrifice on that, that you went and sinned two sins because you reaffirmed that yes, I'm gonna follow through on this neder. But that's wrong. Rather, as Rashi says, a person should go to a sage and he should permit the neder. And the reason is we don't want people to be accustomed to making nedarim because of the severity of what happens when the person doesn't fulfill a neder. And therefore, a person should always be davak in hafaros nedarim, in nullifying vows. Now, v'yisrachik mishleisha dvarim, and he should distance himself from three things. And the first one, as we had mentioned in the Gemara before, is min hame'unin, from miyun. The reason for that is because dilma gadlo mechartaba. Maybe what miyun is that she's a minor, she's still young, she doesn't realize the ramifications. She says, no, I'm not interested in this anymore, it's too much hard work. Now, when she becomes an adult and she matures, she realizes that this was a mistake. She's going to have regret, and that could cause complications in whatever later relationship that she's in, and therefore, because of that, we don't want to promote miyun. It's something that we discourage, and therefore, we should be merachik from it. Min ha-bekdainis, the second one was that you should distance yourself from taking deposits. That, the Gemara explains, is a reference to babar masa. Don't accept deposits from someone that lives in your city. Because the baisei ki baisei dami. He views your house like his house. In other words, that he's always coming into your house and he might just end up taking what's really his and not realize. And he's going to come back to you and say, where's my thing I gave you? And he's not going to notice that he was just hanging around one day and they saw his wallet and they put it in his pocket and says, hey, where's my wallet? I gave you a deposit. Therefore, don't go ahead and take deposits from someone that's always around in your house. The third thing was min haravin. Distance yourself from being a guarantor, so that the Gemara qualifies, that's talking about Ba'arve Shaltzia. Now, either that means the name of a place where they would leave the borrower and they would go right away to the guarantor to collect from him, so definitely you don't want to be a guarantor in that place. Or actually, it means that Shaltzian is the name of the guarantee. In other words, it's based on an acronym of Schleif Deutz, or that the Shelzi, Schleif and Deutz, which means to say that Schleif is a term that he takes him away, he removes himself, this lender, from the borrower, and instead he's Deutz, he goes, which Deutz is a term of placing himself, he places himself on the guarantor. So definitely in those places you don't want to be a guarantor. As the Amar Bisluk, like Bisluk says, Ma'adik said, what does it mean the Pasuk in Mishle that says Ra Yeroya, which is a double term, meaning that it's going to be bad after bad, really bad. Ki arab zar, because that is a guarantor for a foreigner. When the pasuk concludes over there, that however, b'sayni taikim, those who hate those who implant themselves, b'teach, he can be confident. So that, Reb Yitzchak explains, that rach ara tavai, that bad after bad is going to happen for someone that's l'makabli geirim, for someone that brings on converts to the Jewish people. Now that's what the words in the pasuk means, ki arav zar, because he's mixing in foreigners, meaning gerim, into the Jewish people. Now additionally, that also from that same term, ki arav zar, you have what also includes v'la'arve shel tzion, because that also includes meaning mixing in, you see the term arev, which is that the pasuk saying ki arav, meaning you're a foreigner, that you're being a guarantor, that we see that also in that pasuk. And a third category, which will be bad after bad, is l'tekeh atzam al-dvar halacha. That as the end of the pasuk there ends, v'sayni teikim b'teach, that you'll be confident if you hate those who implant themselves. But that's what we see from there is, but if you don't hate that, but rather that you plant yourself a dvar halacha, which as the Gemara will explain shortly what that means, is that when someone says, yeah, I'm just going to learn, but I'm not going to fulfill what I learned, but I'll get the reward for at least what I learned, that's someone that implants himself a dvar halacha. All these three types of categories get ra achar ra. Where the Gemara explains why. Mekabli geirim, those that receive, that bring converts into the Jewish people, is kareb chalbay. The Amar B'chalbay, like B'chalbay said, that's not a good thing. Because kashim geirim li Yisrael, converts are harsh to the Jewish people because they're not proficient in the details of mitzvahs, and the Jewish people will learn from them what to do and thus not do the appropriate halachas. and they're so harsh, kisapachas ba'ur, like a nega in a person's skin, which the Gemara is just picking the lashon of the pasuk, where it says in Yeshaya Yadal that v'nilva hager aleim, that the convert will accompany the Jewish people, v'nisbechu al beis Yaakov, which literally means to join together on the house of Jacob, but it used the term nisbechu, which is the term sapachas of a nega. It's not a good thing. And therefore someone that brings them on will be causing bad after bad. And Arvei Shaltzion, as we explained before, because the Avdi Shloif Deitz, because they do that, they remove themselves from the borrower, and then they go straight to the guarantor. So therefore, that's causing bad upon bad for the person, which is, again, as we said before, why a person should remove himself. He should distance himself from Minei Roven. It's a reference to Avi Shaltzion. And the third thing that the Pasuk in Mishlei is saying is, Takeya Atma Dvar Halacha, if someone plants himself in the place of the words of Halacha, so what is that a reference to? That's causing Ra Hara. That's a Tanakh Lina Brysa. He says, whoever says that he doesn't have Torah, in other words, I'm not going to be learning Torah, so then ain't like Torah, so he doesn't get the reward for learning Torah. So that's pretty obvious. You didn't learn, you're not going to get the reward for learning. Rather, what he meant was, if someone says that all I'm going to do is I'm going to learn Torah, but I'm not going to fulfill the Torah, then ain't like Ela Torah, then all you get is the reward for learning Torah, not for the fulfillment. So that's also pretty obvious. You get for what you did. So rather, elada afila tyra, rather even the reward of the learning tyra, ein loy, he doesn't have that either. So I think that's my time. What's the reason for that? Where's the justice in that? He learned tyra, he should get the reward for learning tyra. He didn't do, he won't get reward for that. But why does he not even get reward for the learning of tyra if he says he's not going to fulfill? So Amar Papa, because Amakra, the Pasuk in the Varm says, v'lamadatem va'asisem, you'll learn and you'll do. So, kol sheyesh nebasiyah, what we see from the Pasuk is that whoever does, so yeshna b'lamidah, and then he gets the reward for learning. Because she'ena b'asiyah, whoever doesn't do, ena b'lamidah doesn't get the reward for learning, because one of the primary components of learning is to do. L'mad amal nas lasas, and if you're saying that you're learning not to do, then you don't even get the reward for learning itself. Or the Yibayi Semi, the Gemara says, as we said before, lo'ilam kedam ritim yukara, truth is like we said before, that is in the version of Rabbi Yisi. That kala imer ein la ela tyra, that whoever says all I have is tyra learning, the ein la ela tyra, then all he gets is tyra learning. So the question was, pshita, it's pretty obvious. I think Mar says, lo yitzricha, no, the chiddush, and that is the kamag melachwini. He's someone that teaches Torah to others. Va'azli, va'avdi, and they go ahead and they fulfill mitzvahs. Now, ma'adu tema isli igrila didei, you would think, as that's part of a person's reward, that what he went and impacted other people, that he should get the reward for the mitzvahs that they did, because he taught that to them. That's the chiddush that we're saying, that since he's saying that all I'm doing is learning and I'm not going to be doing, so therefore, even though he taught others in his capacity of learning Torah, he does not get their reward for the mitzvahs that they perform. Or the Gemara says, V'ibay seima, tekeya asmat v'alocha, or you could say a different interpretation altogether, and what is this bad thing of being tekeya yourself, meaning firmly placing yourself for dva halacha, that brings ra achara. It's talking about b'dayana d'asi din l'kame. It's talking about a judge who a halacha case comes in front of him. Now, v'gamar halacha, this person knows halacha, just the case that comes in front of him is not exactly like the halacha that he learned. Now, u'medami milsel milsel, now he starts comparing, when I know this halacha, this case seems pretty similar. Now, V'isli rabav le'ozel mashal. Now, he has a teacher, he has a rebbe, and he doesn't go out and ask his teacher. Rather, he's tekeya atzmat v'halacha, meaning he relies and he firmly plants himself, I know, I've learned halacha, I know the answer. Although it's not exactly the same, but it seems pretty similar. He could ask his rebbe, but he doesn't. That is what we say, such a person is bringing ruach ha'ra. As we see, the Amr b'shemol bar nachmein Amr b'yaynesen, he says, lo'ilam yiradayin atzmat, a judge should always see himself, as if a sword is between his thighs, and as if the Gehenim is open beneath himself. In other words, he should have the fear and trepidation when he's coming to judge, that as if a sword is right there, and as if Gehenim is open up beneath him. Like it says the pasuk in Shir Hashim, which the Gemara interprets in its homiletic interpretation, that it says, Hine mitase. Now behold the bed, which in this metaphor means the Beis HaMikdash, which that's where the Lishkas HaGazes were, where the Sanhedrin was. Shelish Shleima, that's for Shleima, which, again, homiletically interpreting, that's a reference to Hashem, because Shleima is Shehashalom Shleima, that the peace, the completeness is His. So by that bed of, meaning by the Sanhedrin of Hashem or Shalosh Lame was Shishim Gibarim, where 60 mighty ones, which is a reference to the judges, meaning the Sanhedrin, where the Sanhedrin Agdela was there in the Lishkas Agazes, where Savala Migbar Yisrael, that surrounding it was from the mighty ones of the Jewish people, Vigam, etc., where there it says, Kul Machuzi Cherv, all of them were holding a sword, Melum de Melchama, they're learned in war, meaning in Melcham Tushal Torah, Ish Charba Al Yarecha, it says in the Pasuk, every man with a sword on his thigh, again, as we're saying, that you should realize that there's a sword and danger over here. And it says that they had mipachad balelas, because of the fear of nighttime, which again, what does that mean? Mipachad shel gehenim. From the fear of gehenim, which we said is open beneath the person, shedem elalayla, which is compared metaphorically to nighttime. And again, so therefore we see that that's the fear and trepidation that a person should have when he's judging. And this person didn't have that fear, because if he did, he would have asked his rabbi, his teacher, to make sure what he's saying is exacting. And therefore, we're saying that if he doesn't ask, and rather he's takiyas mal dvar halacha, so he's bringing ra achar ra. Now, in the Mishnah, the Mishnah brought that Rimlil Omer, regarding that machlekes of what is done in this case of when his wife is a minor, and then her sister, who is married to his brother, that's an adult, falls from Fiyibim. So Rimlil said, imiyana b'chulu, that he says, not like Rebbe Lazar, that we tell the minor wife to do mean so that we could do the mitzvah of Yibam. He says, no. He says, if she does mean, she does mean. But if not, so we could wait till she becomes a gedayla. And then by default, since now he's biblically married to his wife, who is now an adult, her sister who fell for Yibam is a Yavama, that's an erva of a chesish, and therefore she gets removed by default without doing Yibam or Chalit. Now that the Gemara asks, Boi minei Rebbe Lazar mirav. My time during Gamliel, what's the reasoning for Rebbe Gamliel that he said that when his minor wife becomes an adult, then this Yavama that's a Gedaila will leave without anything. She doesn't need Yibam or Chalitza, because by default she's a Chais Ishta, where you don't get entered into the parish of Yibam. As the Gemara explains the question, is it because Mishum Diksavir Kedusha Gitana Mitlu Talu? Is it because the way he views this rabbinic marriage, when you marry a minor girl that's an orphan, that it's hanging in the balance, that Kedusha, because biblically it's not recognized yet, because she received Kedusha when she's still a minor, and she has to be an adult. Now, but v'chi gadla, godly ba'ado, when she becomes an adult, the marriage comes together with her. Now, what that means to say is that when she becomes an adult, so avagav d'leibal, even though now when she's an adult, let's say she didn't go ahead and have bia yet, after she turned 12 when she brought Shtei Cyrus to create a current biblical marriage, however, still, just by becoming an adult, that original marriage that she had done, which was still hanging because it couldn't be biblically recognized because she wasn't an adult yet, now, retroactively, it takes effect. And therefore, it tells us that Lemafreya, that the Zika of her adult sister, was nothing. Because when she fell, although her sister was only rabbinically married, but retroactively, she was biblically married once she becomes an adult, even without Bia, because that marriage actually gets activated when she becomes an adult. Is that the reason of Rimliel? Idilma, or maybe then no. The first marriage that he did with this minor girl is nothing, because she was a minor, and therefore that is not biblically recognized. You can go ahead and do a new Kedushin, meaning when she becomes an adult, if he does be with her, then she'll become biblically married to him, and then the Yavama will be removed by default, because although the Zika of the adult came before his biblical Kedushin with his original minor wife, which is now an adult, but Mishum Diksavar HaMakadosh HaChais Yavama, but the reason why, although the Zika came before his marriage, but Rimlil holds that someone that gets engaged to his Yavama's sister, Niftir Yavama V'Holchala, so then the Yavama becomes exempt, and then she goes away without Yibam or Chalitza, and the reason is because the Kedushin just nullifies the Zika. But however, if that would be the case, then Ibal in. Then only if he had Bia to create a Kedushin Daraisa with his wife when she became an adult. Because that then says he's been Mekadeshar, which is the Achais Yavama. And that Kedushin, even after the Zika, go ahead and revoke that Zika. But he Leibaloi, but if he doesn't do Bia, then not. Then she doesn't just walk away, because that original marriage is nothing. So therefore, what is the understanding of Rimlil? And obviously the halachic ramification is, do you need to have Bia or not? But the question hinges on, do we say the original marriage is something which then gets activated when she becomes an adult, and therefore you don't need Bia? Or do we say that no, of course that's nothing. But, however, when he goes ahead and she's an adult and has to be with her, creating a biblical marriage, that will remove the zika, but that would require, when she becomes an adult, to do bia, and just becoming an adult would not remove that. So, Amalei, so Rab responded to Rabbi Lazar, he says, Hai netam ring rule, the reason rule is, like one of you two, your two options. Mishum diksaver hamakadosh achis yavama, because Rambam holds that someone that gets engaged to the sister of yavama, meaning even after zika happened, is niftu yavama v'halchala. So that just undoes the zika, and then she just walks away because now she's achis ishtay. And therefore, ibal in. Yes, it's only talking about that if he did bia, but he lay ball loy. But if he didn't do bia yet with her, even though she's an adult, that would not yet remove and revoke the zika of her original adult sister. Now, Amrav Sheshis, he said, in comment to this, he says, Amina kinayim b'shach of Rav, Amal HaShemite. He says, I think that I hold that high of Rav, that it must have been that he was sleeping and dozing off when he said this statement. Because Rav could never have said such halacha. Because the Tanya, we're in the Braisa that says, obviously not like that. The Braisa says, Hamakadosh HaSakitana. If someone gets engaged to a minor, so kiddushah ha-tiluyin, so her kiddushin are hanging in the balance. Now, my tiluyin, what does it mean hanging in the balance? Lavki gadla gadla bado, doesn't it mean that it's hanging in the balance, meaning as she becomes an adult, it grows with her, and that it means to say that then it gets activated into a biblical marriage. Even though there was no bia done. So you see, like the other side of the question of Rebbe Lazar, not like Rav had said, that you don't need bia. So that the Gemara answers, Amalei Rav and Bered Rav Nachman. He says, no, that's not. And that will resolve it for Rav. That's not what it means that the Kedusha Ketana or Tluyim mean to say that it's hanging in the balance to then become biblically activated when she becomes an adult. Hamilsa de Ketana, what it means over here is that this Kedushin of a Ketana, Mitlit Tal Yevakayma, means to say that she's hanging in the balance. Meaning, as long as she's a minor, she's in doubt. Ebal, is he going to do be with me when I become an adult and then I'll be biblically his wife? As Rav had said, meaning this exactly is as Rav had said, meaning she's hanging the balance. She's not sure what's going to happen, meaning because I may never become biblically his wife unless he does be with me when I become an adult. Then in, yes, Eloi ba'aloi, but she's not sure because maybe he's not going to do be with me when I become an adult, and then therefore I'm never going to be biblically his wife. Now, therefore, she's not relying so much on this marriage, meaning because, say, this could just end just like that. And that's what we're saying, that the Taliyah is in her own head. She's not sure. Now, so therefore, because the Amr, she says, on the one hand, who adof minoy? He's stronger than me. In other words, he could just get rid of me by giving me a get, even against my will. But vano adif minay. But I'm better than him. In other words, as long as I want to, I could just remove myself against his will by doing me in. And therefore, essentially what the Bryce is saying is that not because the marriage is hanging the balance that it could become biblically activated, but rather it's hanging the balance in the sense that she doesn't feel secure. She doesn't feel confident in this and saying that, you know what, he could get rid of me, I can get rid of him, I don't know if I'm even going to become biblically his wife. And that's because, exactly like Rav had said, because actually just becoming an adult is not enough, and rather because it's only when you do bia acha shagadlo, because actually the previous kedushin is klum, is nothing, and therefore that is exactly as he had answered to Rav, which explains Rabbi Gamliel's opinion that when she becomes an adult, it's not just enough that she becomes an adult, is that then he has to have be with her, and then that makes him his full-fledged wife, and then the other sister, that's the Yavama, will be removed without Yivam and Achalitza.